Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank accounts to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself, but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
There's growing concern that the U.S. is in another real estate bubble. Prices remain high, affordability is strained, and many Americans are waiting for a correction. Are we headed toward a crash?
People keep asking the same question. Are we in another real estate bubble? And we think many are confusing cycles with structure. Real estate always moves in cycles. Prices rise, rates shift, sentimental swing. That part is normal. What different this time is what sits underneath the cycle. Today, housing demand isn't speculative. It's demographic, behavioral, structural. We underbuilt for more than a decade. Household formation never stopped. And post-pandemic mobility permanently reshaped where and how people live. Goldman Sachs research estimates the U.S. needs 3 to 4 million additional homes beyond normal construction just to close the supply gap and restore affordability. So yes, prices can adjust, they always do. But shelter isn't discretionary. A bubble requires artificial demand. What we're seeing is constrained supply meeting permanent need. That's not a bubble, that's a bottleneck.
Many younger Americans feel permanently locked out of home ownership. Why does affordability feel broken across an entire generation?
Because affordability isn't just about interest rates. It's about the speed of compounding. Homes began growing faster than wages long before most people noticed. Meanwhile, families were taught that saving harder, not owning earlier, was the solution. So when people say, "I did everything right," they often telling the truth. The system changed. That's why we don't frame home ownership as a moral milestone. It's a financial tool and not the only one. What families actually need is exposure to ownership, not necessary a deed with their name on it.
Critics argue that institutional investors are worsening the housing crisis by competing with families. How do you respond to that?
A lot of people blame institutions for the housing crisis, but institutional capital didn't create the shortage. Underbuilding did. What institutions tend to do well when done responsibly is operating housing professionally, long-term capital, maintenance reserves, compliance, safety, and scale. The real harm in housing doesn't come from ownership. It comes from neglect. Poorly managed properties hurt tenants, neighborhoods, and city. Well-run properties stabilize them. So the question isn't who owns housing, it's how housing is stored. Ownership without stewardship is the real risk.
Artificial intelligence is transforming nearly every industry. How do you expect it to change real estate?
AI has to live somewhere because people think AI is digital, not physical. But AI needs chips, factories, energy, people. Those things take land, and land is where real estate quietly wins. So when those physical systems get built, housing demand follows, whether people are ready or not. And on top of that, AI won't replace judgment. It will replace friction. Tasks like reporting, data aggregation, scheduling, and forecasting become faster and cheaper. That frees humans to focus on what actually matters: risk, relationships, and decision making. In that sense, AI makes real estate more human, not less.
Some argue AI could create another speculative bubble in property, especially if construction becomes faster or cheaper. Is that a concern?
AI doesn't remove fundamentals. You still need land, you still need zoning, you still need infrastructure, you still need capital. What AI compresses is time, not reality. So instead of guessing whether something can be built, we get better at understanding how efficiently it can be built.
What do you think the public misunderstands most about the housing affordability debate?
That affordability is something someone else fixes. People wait for rates to fall, for policy to change, for markets to reset. Meanwhile, time keeps compounding. Affordability is personal before it's political. Families don't need perfect conditions. They need systems that protect capital and allow it to grow. That's why we talk so much about turning earned income into own income. Wages don't compound. Ownership does.
With inflation, government debt, and economic uncertainty, many people feel the economy has become zero sum, that someone has to lose. Do you agree?
That mindset comes from consumption. Ownership changes the equation. When family own productive assets, they don't just extract from the economy, they participate in it. They create housing, they fund improvements, they plan long-term that expand the economic base instead of shrinking it. Scarcity lives in spending. Abundance lives in ownership.
Your message resonates strongly with immigrant and first-generation families. Why do you think that is?
Because immigrants already understand uncertainty. We have navigated risk our entire lives, culturally, financially, emotionally. What we often lack isn't discipline or work ethic, it's translation. No one explains how wealth behaves once you make it, how it needs structure, governance, and process. No one explains that leaving money idle is risky or that investing is about giving your money a career. That's why we think about building multi-generational freedom like a five-layer cake, kind of like how Jensen Huang explains AI. Each layer supports the next. Layer one, capital preservation, meaning don't lose what took a lifetime to earn. For first-generation families, the biggest danger isn't missing chances to make more money. It's losing what you already worked so hard to build. Money usually isn't lost because markets go down. It's lost because there's no system protecting it. Layer two, ownership structures. Many people make good money, but their money is fragile. They earn income, but they don't own system. At the Kitty Sisters, we help families own things together through clear structures and partnerships. This is where money stops being paycheck money and start becoming working money. Earned income pays bill. Own income help families for generations. Layer three, institutional access. Wealth doesn't scale without institutional infrastructure. This is the missing piece for almost every successful family. They ask, why can't I access what family offices access? Why do institutions always get better terms? Why does my money feel small even when it's big? We become the bridge. We give families access to large real estate investments, share ownership, and opportunities usually reserved for institutions. This is where money start moving faster and smarter. Layer four, stewardship and education. Here's the truth. Most families don't lose wealth themselves. They lose it one generation later. Not because kids are bad, but because they were never taught how decisions are made. We teach how to think like an owner, how to evaluate risk, how to be patient, how to make calm, smart choices. Wealth lasts when thinking lasts. Layer five, legacy and continuity. This is where everything becomes real. Legacy systems create real-world continuity. This layer answers the big questions. What happens when I'm gone? Who makes decision? How do my kids protect what we built? How do values last, not just money? This layer creates peace, not how much did we make, but our family will be okay no matter what happens. At the Kitty Sisters, we help families convert survival instinct into institutional system. That's how earned income becomes own income and how success stops ending with one generation.
At your current scale, how do you define leadership?
Leadership isn't maximizing returns this year. It's ensuring the system survives the next generation. Anyone can grow fast in good times. Stewardship shows up during volatility, when decisions are harder, slower, and less visible. We don't build for a pause. We build for permanence.
Finally, what does success look like for you now?
Peace. Families knowing their wealth won't disappear because of one bad decision. Shorter not having to start over. Success that doesn't expire. If we have helped families make it last, truly last, then we have done our job.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Family podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts. If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them. And if you're feeling generous, leave a review means more than you know. Those few words help the right Estate listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.